Good news for anyone who knew about my collision course with the wall on New Year's Eve, thanks to the children. I found out that the toes are not broken, just severely jammed. So they're already feeling better, so good news in that regard. And I still blame the kids, saying it's their fault. If they wouldn't have chased me, then, and I was not in fear for my life, then I would not have ran into the wall. So we are into a new year, the year of, that'll take me 6 months to get right on paper, 2019. It always takes me until at least July to figure out how to switch the 7 to the 8 and then the 8 to the 9. And now as soon as I get used to the 9, it's going to switch over to 2020. And it's just an ongoing battle there. But we're into a new year. And I'm reminded of the fact that yet another year has passed by. And we are 1 year closer to the day that the Lord returns. That day when we shall stand before the Lord in judgment. In which Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 5:10, "For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for his deeds in the body, according to what he has done, whether good or bad." That day that we are closer to is a day in which either God will say, "Then the king will say to those on his right, 'Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world.' Or he will say, 'Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels.'" Contrary to what the world may tell you about many things in this world today, in the end, when we face that judgment seat, when we stand before God, there are only two options: heaven or hell. And contrary to what some may say, either way, both are eternity. And since we are 1 year closer to that day when our final destination will be forever determined, I want us to use the opportunity today to provoke your thinking as to how you have used the past year of 2018. And to be able to suggest some, even though we're already 6 days in, it's not too late, I want to suggest some resolutions for this year. Many of you have probably already made some resolutions for the year, and many of you have probably already broke some of those resolutions for the new year. I heard someone tell me once, a resolution is something that I do at the beginning of every year so I can focus on breaking it by the end of February. But I want us to look at these resolutions and these thinking from the past year as goals for the year to hopefully keep. For my goal is to encourage you, to make you be able to have better use of the time that you have left, and to prepare us for the day of reckoning that awaits us. Because as many of us don't like to think about, the truth of the matter is that most likely some of us sitting in this room will not see the end of this year, at least on this side of earth. Some of us will meet in this room a year from now, and some may not. So I want us to make better use of the time we have by first thinking of the previous year, by asking in the past year, the first question I want to ask is, has our relationship with Christ and God improved this past year? Now, I know this may be hard for some of you, but I want you to think back to January 1st of 2018. Now, for me, I can't remember what I had for lunch a week ago, much less a year ago, but I want you to look back and think of where you were with God exactly a year ago, or a year and 6 days ago. And I want you to think of where you are today. Bearing in mind that a close relationship with God involves and depends on good communication, have we drawn nearer to God? James 4 and verse 8 says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Am I any closer to God now than I was a year ago? Because the truth of the matter is if I'm not closer to him now than I was a year ago, by default, I am farther away from him than I was a year ago. Because you don't stand still in the Lord. You either get closer or farther away. Have we been bearing in mind about the good communication required with a close relationship to God or anyone for that matter? Have we been faithful in listening to God through his word? Another year has gone by. How much of the Bible have I read over the past year? Did I read through the Bible? Or did I study it to any degree? Because if not, and especially if we never have, can I honestly say that I am taking my relationship with God seriously? Many of us are in the professional field, and you know, we have doctors and nurses in the world, and we have many that are teachers and of various ages. And what I find interesting is what's required in the professional field. If you're a doctor, you have to keep up with your licenses on a regular basis. Same for a nurse. My mother-in-law is a long-term substitute teacher for the special education department in Raytown. And it's amazing, she always tells me that every year they require in the summer more and more licenses and classes and certificates that she has to do. And she said that when she first started, she had to have 2 certificates. Now she's up to 8 certificates and classes she has to take every single year. To keep her up to date with the new trends and the new ways of teaching and the new things that they're coming up with and to keep, you know, new diagnoses that they're finding out and different things of that nature and how to handle children compared to ways before, new techniques that they have. And yet somehow when it comes to a profession, I guess you would call it a profession of the gospel and reading and keeping up to date with our spiritual lives, we don't usually do that. If I have to take a class to keep up with teaching, why don't I have to read the Bible to keep up with my spiritual life? Have I done that this year? And along with that, have we been steadfast in talking to God through prayer? If I don't talk to my wife for a few days, she may feel like that's a blessing, but eventually she's going to start wondering. And my relationship with her will start to wane. Likewise, a good communication with God requires a two-way street. And though he may talk to us through the word, we must likewise talk to him through prayer. Therefore, our fervent Bible study should have over the past year been coupled with fervent prayer. Over this past year, has our degree of prayerfulness increased or decreased? In a nutshell, you can ask, has my relationship with Christ and God improved? Along with our relationship with God and with Christ, I want to know, has our relationship with our brothers and our sisters in Christ improved this year? Has our love for one another increased? Do you love, regardless of whether they're family physically or not, whether they're your spouse or whether they're your child or your brother or sister or whoever it may be, the person sitting next to you, has your love for them increased compared to where it was last year? In 1 Thessalonians 4, 9 through 10, Paul tells us, now as to the love of the brethren, you have no need for anyone to write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. For indeed you do practice it toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia, but we urge you, brethren, to excel still more. What that tells me is I should love the person in the church sitting next to me or all my brothers and sisters in the church. I should love them more today than I did a year ago. than I did 6 months ago, than I did yesterday. Because Paul tells us that in our love, we should excel still more. Are we any closer to each other than we were a year ago? I guess the real question that we should ask is, do I even know who my brothers and sisters in Christ are on a personal level at all? Or do I simply know their name, if that? Because if all we do is come to church on Sunday morning, we sit through a sermon, we sit through a class, if that, and we sing some songs together and I hightail it out immediately afterward, how am I supposed to develop a relationship with my brothers and sisters in Christ? I have to admit that earlier this year, I even did a lesson on discouragement. I have to admit that there were some times where I was discouraged here at Bonner, especially when it came time for, I believe it was Tiblo Days, and the Tiblo Day parade came around, and I was so excited to have the family get together and to go and you know, have our float and decorate the float. And outside of myself and my wife and child, two other people were here. And I went home and I was talking to Caitlin about how discouraging it was that we've been talking about this and we discussed it, and 2 people out of 100 showed up. And so we discussed it about discouragement and about getting together. And then I had to experience the encouragement of when Joseph's coat drive came around. And we had, I don't know how many people showed up outside of the congregation, but so many people helped out, donating clothes, money, coats, shoes, whatever it was that they could donate. And everyone got together and we had a lot of people show up to help. And then as we started planning the holiday party, and we had, I think, over 50 people, I think it was, that showed up, and then, or around that. And then I was even more encouraged whenever we got to the New Year's Eve party where I had the collision course with the wall. And we had, I think, I got a text saying we had 38 people show up for that. And it's how exciting it was to finally be able to discuss it and see the growth of the church as a family getting together. From a discouraging 2 people getting together to over 50 on one occasion. Has our relationship with our brethren and our sisters increased over the past year? And regardless of whether our love for each other has improved and whether our love and our relationship with God has improved, the next question should be, has our relationship with those in the world improved from 2018 to 2019? As people of God, we have an important responsibility toward the world. In Matthew 5, 13 through 16, it says, "You are the salt of the earth. But if this salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on the lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." I love this scripture because we live in a world where we're striving so hard to boast ourselves up. Look at what I did. Look at this charity I donated to. Look at the good I've done for this person or that thing or this or that. And I love how he says in Matthew 5, "Let your light shine before men in such a way that they see your good works and not boast you up, but glorify your Father who is in heaven." Have we done that this past year? We have an important obligation and responsibility to be a positive influence to those in the world. You are the salt of the earth. We have an important responsibility to demonstrate to those lost to sin that there is a better way. You are the light of the world. Have we made progress this past year in developing meaningful relationships with people in the world? And I'm not saying how many people have we gotten out of the world and sat in a church pew on Sunday morning. That is not what I'm asking. What I'm asking is those who are lost to the world that we know of, our family, our friends, our neighbors, those we come in contact with, have we developed a meaningful relationship with them so as to open the door to the gospel to them? So that the light of Christ can be seen in our lives and that the gospel can be communicated to them. Because as I've said many times, and I still believe it to be true, the gospel is not a secret to be locked up in the four walls of a church building like a box, exclusively for those who come into the doors and sit down to hear it. The gospel doesn't start here. The gospel starts outside these four walls. Or are we like so many neighbors today in this day and age that live next to each other but never really know who they are? Can you say who your neighbor's names are to the person to your left or right at home or across the street? Do you really know your neighbor? Do you really know the person that you're even sitting next to today? And if it's your spouse, I would hope the answer is yes. Basically, have I as a Christian grown? Have I helped others in and out of Christ to grow over this past year? For some, the answer may be yes. But if we were truly honest with each other, so many of us would probably say no. That our relationship with God and others in and out of Christ has not improved. Because like so many other things that we do in this year, we become comfortable. And we forget to grow. We like where we're at, and we don't, as one person once told me, I don't want to rock the boat. So I stay where I am at, anchored to this comfortable spot. The questions I am raising can be summarized in one way. Another year has gone by. Have we made good use of the time that the Lord has blessed us with, or have we wasted it? One of my favorite movies to watch with my grandfather growing up, and I haven't seen it in a few years, was Groundhog Day with Bill Murray. I used to think that was the best movie in the world when I was like 8 years old. And I remember a few years ago, my grandfather was watching a commentary or an interview of some kind, and they asked him, they asked the director, how was Bill Murray's character able to learn the piano in such a short time or learn this and that? And he said that, in the movie, you're cursed with having like an hour and a half to 2 hours. And he said, in reality, if we were to stretch it out, most likely Bill Murray on Groundhog Day would have woken up to the exact same day. Over the course, it would have taken him anywhere between 10 to 15 years worth of waking up on the same day to learn the lessons he needed to learn to break the cycle. And he said, because on average, just like so many others, Bill Murray would have wasted a good 5 years just goofing off. Have we likewise wasted the time God has blessed us with? It is likely that all of us in some degree have not made good use of the time that we have been blessed with over the past year. But at this point, I want us to apply the words of Paul in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting these things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Because unlike Groundhog Day, we cannot repeat the past year. We cannot even repeat the past day, as great of an option that may sound. What's done is done. How I used my time in 2018 is sealed forever. But what is open to determination is how I spend the next 300 some odd days of this year. So for the year ahead, here are some resolutions that I want us to make as individuals and as a congregation looking into 2019. First, like I asked before, now I want us to state to resolve to draw nearer to God and to Christ over this year. I want us to be able to wake up on January 1st of 2020, if God blesses us to do so, waking up and say, I am closer to God today than I was on January 6th of 2019. And we can do so by having a daily reading program with God and living and abiding in His Word. In Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the Word of God is living and active and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. Resolve to read the Bible more this year, every day. Read through the Old Testament if you can. Read through the New if you can. In James 1:21, it says, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all that remains of wickedness and humility, receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. I encourage you to set a goal this year. Whether it be to read through the entire Bible. And if you choose to do that, we have a great reading plan that I put in the bulletin every single Sunday on the very front page, right next to the article, that goes through every single day reading the Bible to get through it in a year. I'd encourage you to do that if you can. Or like some other people that I know, they focus on a book every year. I know one year I had a friend of mine that focused on Genesis all year to strive deeper into Genesis. I know others that say, I'm going to go through all four Gospels this year. I'm going to go through the letters. I'm going to go through 1 Samuel, whatever it is. Maybe choose a book and focus strictly on that book all year to know deeper the truths that God has to tell us in that book. Or maybe it's a section like the New Testament. We should also strive this year, along with our Bible study, to be more diligent about our prayer life. In Hebrews 4:14-16, he tells us, therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. Therefore, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Let's pray more. Let's become more of a thankful people. Perhaps Daniel's custom of praying three times daily would be worthy of our emulation. In Daniel 6:10, it says, now when Daniel knew that the document was signed, he entered his house. He had windows open toward Jerusalem. And he continued kneeling on his knees three times a day, praying and giving thanks before his God, as he had been doing previously. Now, while I don't agree with their morals or their spiritual beliefs hardly in any way at all, I will have to give one thing to the Muslim faith: their diligent prayer life. The fact that they set time aside every day, multiple times a day, to take time to kneel in prayer. Likewise, we, as Daniel did, should take time out of our day, every day, to kneel spiritually and maybe even physically, if so be, to kneel in prayer to our God. Likewise, we need to resolve this year to become closer to our brothers and sisters in Christ, those that we are sitting next to this very day, by making it a point to learn everyone's name. Do we know everyone's name in here? If I was to pull up someone like Justin right now and stand him here and point to each member of the congregation, could he do it? Could Dennis do it? Could Debbie do it? Could I do it? We need to resolve this year to get to know one another better. And I have to admit, for someone like me, I am horrible with names. I still get my wife's name wrong half the time. I do. I call her by her sister's names, by her mother's name, by Emery. I call her everything. And then finally, after like 20 minutes of name calling, I finally get Caitlin out of it. And so I am horrible with names, but I can still get to know each and every one of you on a personal level. Strive this year that every Sunday to get, not necessarily get away from the people you know, but to go toward others that you don't know and get to know them better. Instead of flocking toward the same people we always talk to and ignoring the others, go and delve into conversations with those we don't usually and delve into conversations with. One of my favorite things to do when I first come to a new congregation like here, and I did it at Pleasant Hill, is I get the directory, and I open it up, and I will go through every day the directory, looking through everyone's pictures, looking through everyone's names. And sometimes when I first started here, I actually took the directory, and I sat in the back, and during the singing, I would look through. I'd see someone and say, oh, I don't know their name, and I'd flip through till I see their picture and be like, oh, that's who they are. So that way I had an active knowledge of who was here and who wasn't, who I needed to get to know, who I didn't know well enough. And something that I plan to do this year that I should have done last year and didn't is to go through and every day call someone from the directory. Maybe start with the A's and call through and check on every person this year. Get the prayer list if you have to, or if you want to, rather. And maybe call every single person on the prayer list and ask how they're doing. Or if they're not here and you don't have contacts, contact someone who does know them and ask them. We need to resolve to know each other better this year. More than just, oh, that person comes to church and they live in this town. And finally, we need to resolve to get to know non-Christians better this year. By getting to know our neighbors, getting to know the spiritual status of our neighbors and our family and our friend, because I guarantee you, if I was to ask for a show of hands, I guarantee you just about every person in here would raise their hand if I said, do you have a family member who is not saved today? And if you didn't raise your hand to that, I guarantee you you'd raise your hand if I say, do you have a friend who is not a Christian today? Or do you have a neighbor that's not a Christian today? We need to resolve to get to build those relationships with the lost today. In Galatians 6 and verse 10, it says, so then, while we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. There's an old saying that everyone always likes to put forth whenever they're talking. They say, a word to the wise. And I said to someone once, why give a word to the wise? It's the dumb people that need it, right? The same, I feel, is true to a degree with the gospel. We're preaching the gospel to each other every single day when there is a world full of people lost to sin that so desperately need it. Not to say that we don't need it today, every day either. But there are people in the world that have none at all that really need the gospel. And you may be the only Bible some lost soul ever reads. I'm not saying invite them to church on the first day and sit them in a pew and say, here, there you go. But talk to them. Build a relationship with them. Start with Christ and lead into Christianity. Don't preach church to them. Preach Christ to them, and the church will follow. And some people say, well, that's just too hard. I say, focus on one person this year. That's all it takes. I'm not saying focus on 50 people. Focus this year on one person to strive to be in a better relationship with them toward Christ. The resolutions may seem simple, but if implemented properly, they can and will go a long way to producing the kind of lifestyle that is very becoming of a Christian. It'll also go a long way to increasing closer relationships with God, our brothers and sisters, and to the lost, to be able to bless their lives and ours as well, and to create a clearer conscience next year, to know that I am doing my Father's will. There's a poem that I read every year at the end of the year, right after the new year strikes. Before I go to bed, I always read this poem. The old year ends and a new begins, with pages clean and new. And what is written on each page now depends on you. You cannot relive the year that's passed, erasing every wrong. For once a year or a day is spent, it is forever gone. But don't give up in dark despair if you have failed some test. Seek God's forgiveness and resolve henceforth to do your very best. Resolve each precious day to do things good and kind and pure. Though days and years may pass away, these things shall still endure. You know not where your path may lead, nor what's beyond the hill. But know that God walks at your side if you will only do his will. All things are possible with God, though days be bright or dim. So do your best and know that you can leave the rest to him. Time is a very precious commodity that God blesses us with every second of the day. And at some point, some sooner than others, that blessing will end and our time will be no more. I'm asking you now how you will spend the year of 2019, but in the end, God will ask, how did you spend the time that I gave you? If you are not a Christian or a child of God who has strayed away from the Lord, I implore you today to take the necessary actions needed to save your soul, because now is the only time you may ever have. This may very well be the last time all of us, these specific people sitting here today, will ever gather together in the same room on this side of heaven. So let us do as what is written by Paul and work together with him. We also urge you not to receive the grace of God in vain, for he says, at the acceptable time, I listen to you. And on the day of salvation, I helped you. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Whatever your need may be, I implore you not to wait, but to strive to do better today as we stand and sing.